You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, in with me, Jay Gonzalez. Busy day today there, Jay. A lot of things going on.
Busy day, lots going on. We had a chance to listen to Dave Hickey, the athletic director at Arizona, and also Kevin Sumlin, the head football coach, to talk a little bit about where things are today. And as we've said before, things are changing every day, and it continues to be that. But we got a chance to hear some comments and ask some questions. And so we're going to play back some of that stuff for you, react to it. We hope you'll call in and get in on the conversation at 520-790-2040. But let's have a conversation about this. But there's I'm going to say that not a lot has changed, but it was great to hear about where things are today. And where things are today is that they're still very much up in the air.
The same they were yesterday and the day before. But the thing is, they put a local voice to the answers.
Right. And that's the thing. You watch ESPN, you follow social media, and you hear national media talking about it. You hear, the commissioner of the Pac-12 and those kinds of things. We're getting the local guys who are going to have the biggest impact on this talking about it here. So it was good to hear from Dave Hickey and from Coach Sumlin.
Yeah, you listened to it. I was busy doing some other things. We'll talk about it. I'll ask you the questions when we talk about it. But today's busy. Tomorrow's going to be busy. And Monday's going to be busy.
Right. We've rounded
good
up.
Good busy.
Really good busy. We've rounded up some really good guests, as we promised when we came together on this. And we're using our contacts to try and get people that can come in and talk about some real important stuff and get some great guests. Tomorrow, we're going to have Terry Francona, the manager of the Cleveland Indians, also a U of A baseball All-American, who's going to come and talk to us about what's going on at the Major League Baseball level. My understanding is he headed back to Cleveland today. So I don't know if that means he's going back to start getting ready for the season, as they've talked about starting around July the 4th, or maybe he just got too dang hot for him and he decided to go back. But we're going to have Terry Francona on, which is, we're pretty honored to have somebody at his level come on our show. And then on Monday, we're going to bring in Greg Byrne. Greg Byrne, the former athletic director at Arizona, but now the athletic director at Alabama. And what we want to talk about with Greg is what the heck's going on in the SEC. They really seem to be the ones who are pushing.
Wagging the dog.
Right. They're kind of pushing everybody towards, let's get this thing going in the fall. So we want to see what they're talking about, how things are, what they're saying over there in the SEC that's different from what we're hearing over here. Mm-hmm. Why is it different? Is it just because football seems to be more important to them than it is to us? Or how is it that they're going to be able to really push the envelope here and try and get things going? So it's going to be interesting to see what he's got to say.
By the way, your questions to Terry will be different than mine, because I'm more concerned of how cool it was to be the best baseball player to play at the University of Arizona. I could be wrong, but I think that's
what he won the Golden Spikes Award. He was basically the college player of the year
He's like the Sean Elliott of baseball.
He sort of is, and he came in with a lot of fanfare. People knew his dad, who was a major leaguer, Tito Francona, and I think Tito actually played with the Indians. Mm-hmm. So he was in spring training here, so a lot of people here knew his dad. So he came here and he was kind of like, more like the Steve Kerr, in that he, people just fell in love with him.
Oh, right.
And they followed his career. He got injured, his pro career got cut short because of injuries, but people have been rooting for him here. He's just a good guy. He comes to town, you see him at the U of A basketball games in the front row.
He's been on all over media this week.
Yeah, and so, it's going to be fun to talk to him. He was a part of the last weekend's episodes of The Last Dance, because he was Michael Jordan's coach with the Birmingham Barons. So, I'd like to see, what do you know about Michael? What's your take on some of this stuff? So there's lots to talk about, but we mainly want to talk about Major League Baseball and how that's going to affect things.
Sure, I'm going to ask him if he can still teach a 56-year-old guy how to hit a curveball.
You know what? At 56, if you can't hit a curveball, I don't think you're going to hit a curveball.
I can't hit a golf ball. What are you talking about? We'll see. We'll talk about that. I'm excited about that. The next couple of shows. But this show has had some great guests. We've had Ricky Hunley. So now I think this is the best football player to ever play here. I don't know if you agree
with
that.
Pretty close. Yeah, and then, he's certainly in the discussion.
Who else would you put it?
you know, you got to think about Teddy Bruschi. You got to think about Rob Waldrop, who won the center line. He won the big award. I lose my mind on what it is.
It's going to come to me.
You know, and then you really throw it back to the Cactus Comet. Mm-hmm, so, you know, Art Lupino. So, you know, Ricky's certainly in the conversation. And if somebody said he's the best player, do you agree or not agree?
And if you say yes.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to put a knife to my throat and say, if you don't say yes, you're in trouble, I'm going to say yes.
You can say hell yes.
But, no, Ricky is in the conversation. So, you know, just keep bringing in guests like that is what we want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about the good old days and talking about what's going on today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, you threw a kind of curve. I threw you the question, but you threw a curve yesterday in talking about Tony Mason.
Oh,
did you get any feedback?
No. Well, you know, my brother, who was one of the defense attorneys for Tony Mason. Since I've been on the show, he's been listening religiously.
Still on retainer.
Well, he wasn't listening yesterday because he was in the middle of a deposition, still doing some lawyer work. So I called him and said, "Did you listen?" And he said, "No, I missed it." So I think he was going to go back and listen to the podcast. Yeah, he didn't call me and tell me I said anything stupid. So I'm guessing we got it right. But you know,
but let's talk about the podcast. If you don't happen to hear us live, you can go to the podcast and hear us.
Right.
On tape.
Go to our show. Go to the KVOI.com, the webpage. Click on shows. Find Eye on the Ball. And you go to our page. You see two good-looking guys on that page. And then you go and you can see the full podcast of the show.
You just lost them. You lost two good-looking dudes. Sure. It's like Rivera and Gonzalez. Gonzalez and Rivera. Well, we're like a law firm that won't win a case.
All I know is I shaved that day that we took those pictures, okay? I did not.
Well, hell, I did do my part.
Yeah.
I'll take the good-looking part, though, just for today.
Hey, Steve, you're a good-looking guy.
I have my days. Okay.
We'll go with it.
Thank you very much for that 45-year-old woman who's listening.
Never mind. I'll stop right there.
Please. I'm looking forward to hearing, because you listen to Hickey, you listen to Sumlin. Hickey's kind of a straightforward guy. You know, he's trying to be probably optimistic. I can just kind of hear him right now.
Right. He was optimistic, but, you know, guardedly optimistic, because he doesn't want to speak out of turn and say things are going to happen that might not happen. So he's trying to cover all the bases and really let people know that they're trying to think of everything. But, you know, the reality is that we're still a long way from knowing.
Right.
But, you know, the gist of what he said and what you'll hear is that he expects there to be football in the fall. Now, what that's going to look like is up in the air.
Right.
But you'll hear some of the scenarios that they're discussing. And then the same thing with Kevin Sumlin. There were some questions thrown at them about things like, you know, could it go into January? Could the season start in January? Or, you know, what about the California schools and those types of things? So it was good to just hear what they're thinking and what they're saying, because the gaps are, you know, pretty far in between that we get access to these guys. You know, they're busy, they're trying to get ready for a season, and right. So you know, we got a chance to ask some questions, and I think you'll be interested to hear the answers.
Well, they have 3 months today. This weekend is the graduation, so almost the official end of the school year,
right?
And they have, the time has clicked. I mean, if it hasn't started to click to anybody, it's starting to tick now.
Yeah, it really is. You know, people have to really start getting a grasp of how this is going to flush out. And,
right.
And but, you know, I think we're probably 2 weeks away, maybe. June 1st seems to be the next magic date where they're going to measure where we are on June 1st and give us a better sense of where we can be in the fall.
I know we got to go to break here real quick, but was it a sense of the numbers would be because of the COVID-19 numbers?
Yeah.
That's
the overriding thing is how are they going to do this?
And, how are they trending?
And have it be safe for everybody, okay, to both the athletes and the fans.
Right, right. We'll talk about that, because if I had a son who was an athlete here, I don't know what I would do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's take the quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back and listen to Hickey. on Eye on the Ball. Steve Rivera here with Jay Gonzalez. We're going to go to the conversations.
Right. We're gonna listen to some clips from Dave Hickey's press conference. We'll kind of introduce these two and let you know what your what the topic is. You know, we obviously can't play the whole thing. It was a 45-minute press conference, and that would take
the
up our whole show.
Then. But we key points.
Yeah, we've got the key points covered. So in this first segment, Dave Hickey talks about the many scenarios and how they're putting all these scenarios together to try to figure out how we're going to get football back.
You know, we've had a Pac-12 group with our several of our head coaches, our administration, football operations folks who have been working for several weeks to develop a variety of models. Would that include a full season? Would it include a modified season? Would it include a Pac-12 only game season? And then on top of that, a reentry plan. When would the reentry start? Would we start the season in September? Could it be delayed? And then when you could bring student athletes to campus. So there's a variety of plans out there. And I think it's like everything else during the crisis here. We're trying to develop as many options and plans as possible that make sense, so that when things become more clear, we can then begin to travel down certain roads and be ready to move. So I'd call it several sliding scale models that we can maneuver. We're all very aware that from football perspective, there's a larger lead time to prepare our football student athletes to be ready for the physical nature of the game. And we believe that should be around a 6-week period. I think that's the window that's been talked about quite a bit. Remember, none of these student athletes have had the opportunity to be training as they regularly would right now, coming out of spring football practice, and then likely won't have the full opportunity in the summer through weight training and conditioning and those things to be prepared. So we're going to have to take some time to get them ready to go into then a period of being, starting to prep for the season itself. In the days of just 2 weeks and let's go play games, when some of us older folks used to play, it doesn't happen. You need much more lead time. And obviously that's very well documented by our strength and conditioning people and medical professionals, how important that is. So again, a lot of sliding scales, looking at how we can be prepared depending on what is as the option to move forward with football.
Wouldn't you think, and given that, and I thought about this a little, they need 6 weeks to get prepared?
Well, that's what they're saying, but I did hear in the coaches' press conference that was later, that we'll get into that there, was that, again, there are options there, and I think...
Shorter, longer?
Shorter. Because, maybe if it's going to be a shorter season and those kinds of things, so there are some other options.
Wouldn't you think that this is the first thing that came to mind, that there could be more injuries because of it?
Well, there could be, and that's one of the concerns. And you'll hear Kevin Sumlin talk about the importance of training and making sure that guys are in shape and ready to go. So the next question was kind of who are the schools, the programs listening to as in regards to whether or not they're going to be able to get on the field, to have fans in the stands and those kinds of things. So, because it's certainly not just a school decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly anything that our workforce group goes forward with will be in concert with, state and local governmental agencies, based on scientific information, health services, and, the health professionals' information, our university protocols and processes, as well as the Pac-12 and NCAA. So it's not a group that is an ad hoc group that can do whatever it wants. It will be working in concert with all of those. This group is linked directly to the overall university's reentry team. So that's a rather large group with the entire campus community and how we're going to reenter. So it's working in concert with all of those. Again, looking at all the different scenarios of testing and how important that will be going forward. Testing will be a huge part of this. When we bring people into the environment, how we're going to track and trace their movement what they're doing, how they're leaving and reentering the spaces, you know, and then how we would treat anything that would come forward. So those are the main focal points, you know, again, from a medical side.
You know, I think that that really spoke to the enormity of what mm-hmm. they have to consider,
right?
You know, going into this, you know, testing and, as you said, testing and tracing and tracking and knowing where people are and where things are coming from. I think that's that really spoke to what a big, big, I don't want to call it a mess, but just what a task it is to figure out whether we can go on the field.
No question. Let's remember, too, that these kids, students and otherwise, come from all over the country.
In some cases, all over the world.
Yes, yes. So you're tracking and tracing and doing all these things. Where did you come in from? What did you do yesterday? What did you know? When did you know it?
Exactly. This next segment was, to me, was the most telling piece of what Dave Hickey had to say, and it was basically he said we're playing football. So let's hear what he had to say on that one.
Well, again, I think people related and you know throwing that one out there is something that could happen. I've not heard a no college football season scenario. It's very important to the overall economic health of college athletics, as I said. That takes place and what level of a season we have is still, again, unknown. You know, is it shift from a fall to a spring? Are there other options that might happen? Just, again, as things unveil to us all that that forces us to shift, we'll shift. But I know with my colleagues around the country, it is critical to all of us that we play football, that it happens at some level. Without college football, it would be devastating to the overall, you know, college athletics enterprise. The resources that surround college football at a local level, when you talk about tickets and donations, the revenue streams there, but then you start to talk about the revenues from media packages, from the Pac-12 that are distributed amongst all of our conference partners, all the way up to the college football playoff media package, you know, that just has an enormous amount of revenue streams that feed back into our, our universities, our athletic program, that are important to the financial viability and health of our overall programs. Healthy football, and again here, healthy basketball, is really important for all of our programs. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to manage the expenses that surround the individual programs that we have across the board. And that's something that every campus will face, every athletic director and president will face if we lose a college football season. So again, back to my point, it's really important that we find the way to play college football and to maintain some semblance of order in that fashion.
This is how important, and we've talked about this. I think the athletic budget at U of A is more than $80 million, close to $100 million.
It's about $100 million.
So football brings about 75, 80% of it.
Right.
Basketball, the rest.
Right. No, I think Arizona's got a different split. I think it's more like a 60 football, and you know, Arizona's got the most, the highest revenue. One of the highest revenue basketball programs in the country.
Right.
But so I think at Arizona, it's more like a 60-40.
60-40.
You know, what John Wilner said was that in general, it's like an 80-20 split. But at Arizona, it's not. But, you know,
60-40.
Bringing up the whole basketball thing, though, and that gets us to the next question. We'll talk about all of this in a second.
Okay.
The last question, it was a question I asked, is, you know, I think we're kind of taking, you know, talking all about football and is football going to happen and these fall sports going to happen. But what about basketball? You know, it starts not too much after football season. Mm-hmm. Practice has to start. And now you're talking about putting people in arenas. So mm-hmm. here's Dave Hickey's response to, you know, what's the situation with the winter sports, particularly as it relates to basketball?
It is kind of day to day at times, you know, and as we talked about, we're focusing on June 1 right now and the month of June, how we could bring people back potentially, how we get to a football start date. But we've begun to talk a little bit about our winter sports and you know, because all of us understand that it's not going to be business as usual. So going into McHale or other, you know, large arenas and how we manage our fans, how we manage, you know, our student athletes is going to be different. And so we're going to begin to make preparations there. It feels like a lot of the conversation is certainly around modified fans environments, not full capacity environments. So, you know, we'll have to see what comes up, and you know, as we keep moving down this road and where we are with, you know, again, testing, understanding, treatment. You know, are there other opportunities that arise that gives us more flexibility on our fan from the fan experience level to keep it very robust? But at the same time, I think we need to be prepared for modified crowd environments. You know, people talk about 50% or 25%. It's, you know, again, that's hard for all of us when we know how important those revenues are. But it needs to be a safe environment. You know, we can't go into this haphazardly. We can't do this. We have to provide an environment that we're confident in and that our fan base is confident in, that they're protected and safe, and our media.
So that's okay, 60-40, but it's still going to equal 100.
Right, it's still going to equal 100.
It's still equal 100, and if you don't have two of these things, you're done.
Right.
You're
done. If you can't, you know, if you're going to have 50 or 25% capacity crowds, you know, I mean, that hits Arizona hard because, you know, somebody like Washington State, you know, they have 25% capacity crowd
right,
all the time.
Right.
You know, Arizona fills up their arena for the most part. That's a big hit. So, you know, again, what happens in basketball, though, is still going to be dictated by what happens in football.
No question. And Arizona needs every penny because even on a good day, or meaning a good year, they're just up $10 million maybe. You know.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they just try to finish in the black. That's
right.
The goal.
Right, right.
You know, that's the goal.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes.
Sorry, son,
right.
There's no groceries tonight.
Yeah. So I would love to hear from our listeners out there. If you want to be in on this conversation, we're going to talk a little bit more about Dave Hickey after the break.
Yeah, great. We'll come back. Good stuff, Jay. Thanks a bunch. We'll take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. Let's get back to Mr. Sumlin, Coach Sumlin now. Yes, Jay?
Right. Coach Sumlin was on with the Pac-12 has been running these webinars this week, getting three coaches at a time to basically talk about some of the issues they've been on with. I forgot his name. One of the Pac-12. Yogi Roth.
Yeah, Yogi.
And so, just kind of going through the, you know, all the same topics and that type of thing. But again, it was good to hear from Coach Sumlin about you know, what's on his mind, because we hear from everybody else. So in this first clip, Kevin Sumlin talks about the fact that he's got a new defensive coordinator. He didn't really have a spring practice, and how he's dealing with that.
Well, you know, it's just like Mario said, you know, as a new coach, or particularly guys on defense coming in, the good news is that they did get to see three or four practices, right? So there's a little bit of evidence on film, some meeting time, some workouts. So they have a little bit of an idea athletically up close. The developmental part, that obviously did not happen. But what happens now? And I think Mario hit it right on the head. You know, it's about communication. It's about trust. It's about and you know, during this time, our Zoom situations have been not just about football, but about life and getting to know guys, getting to know the family. So sometimes, you know, your mom will peek their head in behind the Zoom, you know, say hi. And everything we do is not about X's and O's, particularly during the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months, because, you know, lives have been changed. Lives have been turned upside down. Everybody's got a different situation. And our coaches have been and needed to be invested in our players' lives outside of football. And the quickest way for new coaches, you know, to really flourish and do the things that they need to do to be successful is to gain trust. And, you know, you'd say that's hard to do when you're not in front of them. I mean, right there face to face, but believe me, we've had enough meeting times through Zoom that the guys know from everything from, you know, cookouts and virtual cookouts, you know, virtual everything. So, yeah, it's been a different way to do things, but I think our guys, particularly defensively, the new guys, and our staff in general have done a nice job of really communicating with our players and gaining that trust in this time where everybody's not together.
Trust, I guess, is the key.
Well, you know what, it was funny because all three coaches kind of said the same thing, that while they haven't been able to practice and be on the field with each other, just the fact that they've been communicating with each other, they have had a chance to learn about each other beyond mm-hmm. the football. Mm-hmm. And they think that'll pay some benefits down the road. So they were kind of looking for a silver lining there. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of that conversation was about, that these meetings that they're having, yeah, they're going through X's and O's and stuff, but, you know, they're also just trying to feel each other out and learn who each other is. So
no one talked about talent. We'll get to that later.
We will get to that later. In this next segment, Kevin Sumlin talks a little bit about making sure that these guys are in shape, you know, what that's going to be like when they, you know, when they get them on campus.
As the other coaches have alluded to, you know, we've basically since the end of March have met as coaches with our league and have developed different plans of attack from a return to play standpoint, whatever those week periods look like, what those practices, what those workouts will look like, because it's our job to prepare our guys to prepare to play football and then be reactionary. Just like Justin said, that plan might change and go from A to B in a couple of minutes or a day, but our jobs are to prepare our team to be ready to play in the fall. And our strength coaches are a huge, huge part of that, because for the time that our players have been away, for player safety, for their well-being, to for them to be in the type of shape to play at this level, you know, we're going to have to be cognizant of where they're coming from, what they're doing when they get back on campus, and at the rate and the speed that they do that.
Yeah, so that's another C, like I said before, that's a concern. I expect to see a lot of injuries.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is that, you know, these guys are used to having, you know, state-of-the-art equipment to work mm-hmm. with and to get in shape with. Some of these guys probably might not even have, you know, their own weights or bench press at home, and they're having to figure out other ways to, you know, to do the work that they need to do. And I'm sure that, you know, the strength and conditioning people at the U of A, you know, are giving them ways to do that, mm-hmm. but it's certainly not like being in the weight room.
No.
And you're right. I mean, I think that there's some concern about, you know, what these players are going to be like, you know, when they get here and start practicing football and then get into games.
Mm-hmm. We'll see, because they're going to have to be really prepared. I'm sure they're doing some things on their own right now, but like to your point, where are they doing it and how are they doing it?
And what are they doing?
Yeah.
Exactly. No question. Exactly. In this last segment, they talk about the question was, what happens if the season gets pushed into January? They actually all were asked, would you prefer the season to start late and play fewer games and end at the regular time, or if you had to start late, play the full season, have it go into January? And then then this question came up of, what if the entire season gets pushed into January? What happens there?
I'll be honest with you. You know, we've had discussions. I think coaches are different. Again, it's all about player safety. What's best for them? I think, Tony, that after January 1st, you get into some other issues, right? You get into some eligibility issues. You get into classes starting for the next semester. Some guys who may have been able to graduate, some incoming people. You know, and let's be honest, you know, if the NFL doesn't change what they're doing, you know, you got some guys that might be affected by the combine or by the draft. So, and then, you know, what does that say for next season? What does that say for players that are coming back to your program? And if that season starts, then are you trying to play 24 games in a 12-month calendar? So it's not as easy as that. And just looking at a January schedule that goes through that and impacts on a lot of different things, and in particular, the spring and the next fall. So, yeah, you know, those scenarios have been discussed. Everybody's got different opinions about it. But, you know, ultimately, guys want to play football. The players want to play. The coaches want to coach. And we want the safest – model yet, and if that's the model you know, that so be it, but it's going to affect things for the next year more so than people are talking about right now.
Yeah, no question. So you're a student athlete, you start school August 24th, like they say, and people come back, whatever percentage. Students are done by December
5th. Mid-December.
If they go to a bowl game, they go to a bowl game. They sacrifice their time away from school for 3 weeks by going to a bowl game. So now you don't have a break. You don't have a break.
Right.
Because he's talking about going into January, like you say. There's no break from school.
Right, exactly. They'll be, you know, in that scenario, they're going to be in school for the whole semester, and sometime around mid-December or early December, they're going to start practicing to get ready for, you know, to start in early January. It sounds to me like the coaches think that that's, if they have to do it, they'll do it, but that's kind of like a, short of not playing,
right?
That's a worst case scenario for them.
That's how it sounded to you. I think I agree with you.
But really think about it. Let's say you're a senior, and you're going to be done with school in December.
Mm-hmm.
So your football season ends in December. Your school is done in December. You're going to start thinking about the NFL or going to go get a job or whatever. And if you want to play that last season, you got to stick around for another semester. How many, you know, are you going to want to do that?
Right.
And then, like, as he said, what happens if the NFL does play its season? What's the NFL going to do? What are they going to do with their draft? Are they going to wait until June, you know, before they hold a draft? There's combines. There's all kinds of things in play. So, and really, you know, I had been one of those who had heard that they could do this in January, but I hadn't thought of any of this.
Right. Right, right. When you're a student, you want to go to school, play, and then get out of school.
Get out. And if you're done, if you get your degree in December,
see you later, baby.
Sayonara, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Are you going to want to stick around and get beat up for another, and have to go to school for another semester to play football?
Imagine if you get hurt.
Or imagine if you're a good player, but you know you're not going to the NFL.
Right.
You're going to go get a job. You know, you want to start your life, and you don't have an NFL future.
Most don't.
Right. Are you going to play that last season of football? And if you don't, and if a bunch of players don't, where are they going to get players to fill those spots?
No, that's a good point.
That is a really bad scenario. I really think it is.
This is getting more convoluted, complicated. Just so many levels.
Well, what it is that we're getting more information
about
everything that they have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to cover everything. And, you know, I'm sure they've thought about a lot more stuff than we have. This is an example. I didn't think of any of that.
Yeah.
You know, but these people are being paid to think of that stuff. But there's a whole lot more involved than any of us have any idea.
Than just showing up and playing and getting ready.
Right. Yeah. I mean, think about, you know, again, the major scenarios are start on time, play all your games, finish on time.
Mm-hmm.
Start late, decide whether you're going to play fewer games or extend the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Start really late and go into January, not have a season at all. Or, you know, start on time, but you don't have fans at your games. You know, now basketball is going to start. What are you going to do there?
Right.
I mean, there are so many things that these people have to come up with. I'm glad I'm sitting right here and not sitting over there, because I think, you know, my head would spin.
They're getting paid a lot of money to sit over there.
Well, they are. they are. But
lots of money.
But, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure.
Oh, there's no question.
There's so much pressure because, as Dave Hickey said, no football is almost not an option.
Yeah. There's no football. There's nothing at the university.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, two of my kids have jobs in the athletic department. You know, mm-hmm. what's going to happen to them?
Right.
If there's no football.
Right. Man.
There's a lot to think about. And again, you know what? I think what's going to happen is this stuff's going to start to whittle down, and decisions have to start being made within the next few weeks.
This is what a year is, isn't it? Donna Summer?
Donna Summer, man.
I had a crush on her when I was young.
The queen of disco.
I get it. I like it. I've never been playing here, but I like it.
Excuse me, but the late queen of disco.
The late queen, that's true. Hey, let's take a quick break here on Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. Jay Gonzalez, very busy. Good news day.
Yeah,
information day.
A good information day. And I think that I know this, you know, this topic is part of our show pretty much every day in some form or another. But, you know, it's what's happening right now and it's affecting everybody. And so I think, you know, to bring what some of the local guys are talking about was real important for you know, our fans to hear about Dave Hege. There are a number of other points that were discussed, for instance, in the press conferences. So we'd love for you to give us a call if you want to get in on the conversation at 520-790-2040. But one of the things that was talked about was, you know, tickets.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, Dave Hege said that, you know, they already extended the season ticket deadline, so they're hoping to June 1. It's normally May 1, so they send it a month, and that they're hoping that people will, you know, will go ahead and get their tickets.
And but also payment schedules have been kind of...
Right. They've instituted payment schedules, so you don't have to pay it all at once. And then he also tucked in there that, you know, if we have a shortened schedule, or, you know, you can't go to a game because there's only a certain amount of capacity mm-hmm. that's allowed or whatever, you know, if there's a game that you don't get that you've already paid for, you know, they'll find a way to do refunds and stuff right. like that. So
right. There's no question that no matter what happens, the administration, athletic administration, is going to be hit. Depends what the percentage is going to be.
Well, exactly, and one of the things that I keep hearing, you know, a theme that I hear, you know, on other shows in the media, or, you know, listening to other people, is that, again, this is not going to be. It's not going to be a mess, but it's not going to be what we would normally be used to. Everybody's going to have to get used to the fact
sure.
that it's going to be really
sure.
different, and
sure.
things may happen. Even if they say, okay, we're going to start, and something might happen that upsets the apple cart and upsets, you know, you know, the season might get going, everybody feels good about it, and then boom, something happens, and now it all changes again, and people are going to have to get used to the idea that the season could even start, and we could be all happy and sitting at Arizona Stadium, and then something could happen, and it could change everything.
Sure,
again.
Sure, everyone has to leave the building or whatever. Yeah, because what happens if a kid gets sick?
Right. If a kid on a team gets sick, and let's say two or three other guys on that team also get sick because
yeah.
of that. Now, does that team just stop playing? Can you isolate those players and the other players are still okay? Is there enough testing capability mm-hmm. to allow you to keep going? Or, you know, if something spreads on your team, are you done for the year? Now everybody that was on your schedule gets a forfeit, and you know,
yeah.
and how does that play into, say, the college football playoff?
What about the team?
I mean, so many scenarios right there.
What about the team that you just played?
Exactly. And then, yeah, so now if the center has been breathing on the defensive line all this time and he's the one that's got coronavirus, now, you know, how do you test the other team? And then what about, you know, maybe you don't find out until that team has played another team.
Right, right.
So it's, you know... But again, they're thinking of all those things and, right. and trying to figure out how to handle all of that.
Thomas, I always enjoy your perspective. I hate to wake you up. What do you think?
There's not enough coffee for me today, Steve. It's one of those days. You know, my first thought was, you know, they're kind of, I understand it disrupts the college life and the cycle that they're used to.
Right, right.
If we're pushing start dates back and whatever. My very first thought, and remember, I told you I'm a cynic, is cry me a real world river. We all live in the real world with full-time jobs, or at least those of us who have full-time jobs, and real concerns and all these other things. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not too put out by the concerns of a college football consortium. If they have to play in January, they have to play in January. If the poor babies have to stay here through the winter break and go to college, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got to go to class. I'm sorry you got to play football. But you know what? It's a privilege to play football.
Get off my lawn, Tom.
It's a privilege to
get
go to college.
Get off my lawn, Tom. I do like the perspective because I understand what you're saying. I like that point. I don't know if I'm strong in that point, but I understand
you
what
you don't
saying.
Even have to agree with me.
No, because I kind of do, but I don't. I don't want you to get off my lawn, though. I get what you're saying, and it's probably true.
They live in a bubble. They live in a bubble. And I understand
disagree.
That when, look, if anybody moves my cheese, I get upset too. I get it. But I'm sitting over here going, man, I don't even get 40 hours a week. I'm making minimum wage. You know, I don't feel too sorry for you.
I get it. That's why I said, Jay, they make a lot of money for these decisions. So, you know, you get compensated. Both you guys are right in my mind, and there's no right answer.
Tom, football is life. Okay, that's all I have to say. Football is life.
Well, didn't you say you were going to have Commissioner Sankey on at some point from the SEC?
No, Greg Byrne.
Oh, okay.
If I think football is life, can you imagine what they think it is?
Yeah,
I lived in SEC country for 8 years.
And
it's religion.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
It's not just life, it's religion.
There you go.
They're going to push hard to play.
The one thing is everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty boat. It's a sinking boat, pretty much, where they're bailing water right now.
Right. It is. I mean, again, I don't want to say my existence revolves around college football.
But
it sort of does. And, you know, every Saturday is a big deal to me, whether there's a home game or not.
Yeah,
and even Sunday. So I think we can't argue about whether or not it's a huge part of our society, because it is, mm-hmm. and not just in the, you know, the games on the field, but you know, the revenue that's generated, the people that have jobs in it, and all of that. It's a major revenue. It's a major part of our economy.
No question. In fact, well, let's assume everything was equal and everything was fine. Arizona was going to have or is going to have this schedule that's going to be one where they may not win four games, realistically. I think we've talked about that before. You might think a little bit more, but four games. Let's assume four games. And the crowd is not going to be big anyway. True? 28,000, 30,000.
Well, it wasn't last year. Yeah,
right, right.
For sure.
So 30,000. So you already know they're going to be in the hole because they need these people. Now, if it's not 30 and it's 15, yikes.
Yeah. Well,
no
sure.
matter the situation.
For sure. But, you know, again, they're already planning for that. They're already taking some of those contingencies right now with pay cuts and furloughs and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. And lack of rehiring right now. They're still having hired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll get into that one in a second because there was a comment made about that.
Right, great. Susie, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. I'm missing something. Okay, we're the Pac-12 because there's 12 teams, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Washington, and Oregon. There's the five. Everything else is California. California already said no.
No, they're going to play.
They said no.
No, the Cal State University system has said no. University of California and UCLA are both part of the University of California system.
Right.
So they have not ruled out football in the fall. USC is a private school.
Right.
So they'll be directed by what they say in California. Now, I know Governor Newsom has come out and said that that there aren't going to be sports allowed in stadiums through the end of the year.
Okay.
But that was... I believe that was more directed to the pro sports. I don't know why college sports would be different, but listening to the webinar today, Justin Wilcox, who's the head coach at the University of California, said, "Nobody's told me we're not playing." So, you know, they're moving forward as if they're playing. Now they may not, mm-hmm. but as of now, they're moving forward as if they are. And in fact, he said that one of the contingencies that they're putting together is if, let's say, California does shut down and they say, you can't play at your stadium, could they take the team somewhere else, train, practice, and play somewhere else? Because they can go to school mm-hmm. online and they might just take the team out of California and go play somewhere else. That's a contingency that they've put together.
But could they really call that part of the Pac-12 if they did that?
Well, sure. It's still the same team.
Sure,
they're just not playing. They just wouldn't be playing at their stadium in Berkeley.
Right.
And in Stanford is, you know, the other school there is Stanford, and they also are a private school. So
yes,
Stanford, and USC are going to go based on what the government and health officials say.
Mm-hmm.
The UCLA and University of California not only have the government officials telling them what they're going to do, they've also got, you know, the heads of the California university system.
Right. So that report you're referring to was not premature. It was just not inclusive to the Pac-12.
That's what I heard. And that's what Justin Wilcox said, because I did hear the Gavin Newsom say, we're not having sports in stadiums through the end of the year. And then I heard Justin Wilcox say, nobody's told me we're not playing.
Well, Newsom sort of kind of talks out of both sides of his mouth, too. If you say, oh, you know what, we got to have it. Oh, well, let me think about it overnight. And then the next day, oh, you know what, let's go for it, kids.
Well, again, so. And then there's room. There's room to maneuver.
There's wiggle room.
Right. There's room to maneuver because he said that, what, a month ago?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next month, things may be all different, and they might say, okay, we're all right.
Yeah.
Good. Susie, thanks for the call. Thanks for always listening, too. I appreciate it.
You made my day, boys. You made my day.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. That's one person. That's good. We made her day. So, no, there's a lot of things, and the sand is always moving.
Right. Well, guys, let's talk about that for a second. Is it realistic that if all the California teams have to go play somewhere else, let's say they go to, I don't know, Las Vegas or wherever, is that realistic for them to pick up and move someplace? Would they clump at a neutral site or pick different stadiums? How'd that work?
Well, the point that Justin Wilcox made was that, you know, a lot of these teams in preseason, they go isolate themselves. Down here in at the U of A, they used to go to Camp Cochise, and you want to talk about isolation. I mean, that was isolation. So they've done that in the past, so they have the logistics to do that. The question is, do you do it for an entire season, and how does that work? Mm-hmm. But again, what Justin Wilcox said is that's one of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's tough to play somewhere like Boise because obviously they'll be using their own stadium. It'll be, where do they go? That's right. The question. Where do they go play?
Exactly. One of the issues that Dave Hickey addressed was, the issue of how many students need to be on campus for them to be able to bring athletes on campus. And the quote was, we need to have an environment that we can bring a portion of those at least back so that we can introduce student athletes as well. So it sounds like to me, what they're saying is if some students are on campus, that'll be good enough to bring student athletes back.
So that's probably could be anywhere from 10 to 20%.
Right. And again, even the California State University mm-hmm. system that said we're going to be majority online classes, they're still going to have some students on campus. So I don't know that they've ruled out that there's going to be sports. They've just said we're going to primarily online classes.
Right. Good show today. I think tomorrow's is going to be fun and fantastic.
I'm excited to talk to Terry Francona. I think he and I are about the same age because he was on the 1980 national championship team. That was my junior year of college, and I think he left after his junior year. So I think we would have graduated from the same class.
Looks like it's going to be fun tomorrow, Francona. Have fun. Fantastic, Francona.
Be sure to be here, Terry Francona. Right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. 10:30 The Voice. See you tomorrow.